Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
I just feel strongly this morning that let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my Savior. And I realize that where the meditation of my heart is acceptable to him, it will always be a blessing. How many of you know that? So I was thinking over the weekend, or well, during the week, as a matter of fact, not weekend, during the week. Yeah. And this scripture came to my spirit, man. And I began to wonder why David would pray this prayer. And it's found in Psalm 119, verse 37. So I started to find out who wrote Psalm 119, because it's one of those psalms where you don't see anything about who wrote it. Praise the Lord. Verse 37 reads, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things." Hallelujah. "And revive me in your way." Any other person, any other version, how does your Bible read? Any other person a little different from this? "Say, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity." Anybody has that? Okay. And revive. One version does not have revive. It says, "And quicken me," or "make me alive." Hallelujah. "In your way." Now, people wonder who wrote this psalm. I have no doubt in my heart that it is written, it was written rather by David. Some suggest it could have been Ezra or Daniel, but see, this is not their pattern. This is David's pattern. And even most of the sentences and the structures, the lexis, you know, this is David. So you begin to wonder, why will he write such a thing? "Turn away my eyes." You see, if you are not trapped through your eyes, you can scarcely be trapped. Hello? If you are not distracted through your eyes, you can scarcely be distracted. You see, men on missions and women on missions are careful what they look at. It's a battle that every living fights, so nobody is exempted. The same David in this same chapter, I think in verse 18, if you open there quickly, wrote. He said, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things, exploits, miracles, mouth gaping signs, wonders. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." So in other words, the same law, the same book, the same word of God that everybody reads, when I read, may I see your miraculous powers. May I see your deliverance powers. May I see your awesomeness. Okay. Glory be to God in the highest. So I began to meditate on this, and the first thing that hit me, one of the first things that hit me was, it's not everything you see that you look. Now, we've discussed this before, that seeing is just a natural phenomenon. But looking, though natural, but it's a decision you make. Hello? That's why 10 people can walk the same path and some will see certain things that most others will never see, but they all drove or walked through the same area. And again, I came to the conclusion that you don't see until you are shown. So there are forces behind what you actually see. So you want to begin to understand and appreciate the fact that God would like you to see certain things on your life journey. And the devil would like you to see certain things. And are you seeing as being the result of looking this time around? Not just the fact that because you have eyes, you see stuff. Praise the Lord. I say praise Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Do you know that the destruction in Eden was through the eyes? So when the psalmist started praying, that turn my eyes away, he must have been a man of great wisdom. Must have been a man that knew he was on a journey. See, everybody may be going the same direction, but not everybody is on the same course. Not everybody you meet on the street, on the road, everybody's driving down Ikorodu Road. Some have nowhere going. Some are going to some places on appointment. Some had time that they must make it. Some are just on the road. So we are not all the same. So those who are just on the road, anything that attracts them, we slow them down, and they may even try to park their car and take a good look at it, satisfy their eyes. But the man on assignment will notice, and I have an appointment to make. So you are not the same with everybody in this walk of life. You cannot aspire to be anybody except as they are walking the same path you are walking, except they are attaining, they are approaching, they are aiming at the same target you are aiming at. So, yeah. And that's the truth about life is that it's not competition at all. Competition in the sense that you want your product to be good in the market so you can have good sales, that's all right. But otherwise, no. It's about achieving a mandate in life. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Amen. Because of my time, let me keep to my note as much as I can. Glory be to God in the highest. So I have examples in the Bible of people who saw things and it affected their lives forever. For example, Moses knew what he was called to do. Come on. He knew. He knew what he was born for. And the kind of wisdom and favor that attained his life was incredible. I mean incredible. Right from the cradle, favor. He was raised in the palace. He arose up to be one of the, in fact, the leaders of the army, the leader of the armies of Egypt. At the time, they said Ethiopia was waging war against Egypt. I read that from the history. And Moses was leading the army. The oracle said if Moses didn't do and wouldn't lead them, they would lose the war. By the time before Galantlian was entering into the capital city of Ethiopia, the daughter of Ethiopia, Ethiopian king said, I would like to get married. I'd like to marry this man. He has so much grace and favor. So at the time in his life, he thought, look, it's time to do it. So he leapt, or he took a leap as it were, but it was a mistake. And that frightened him, and then he ran into to the desert. And for 40 years, nothing happened. Well, something happened, but not that significant. At least he got married. The mercy of God was with him. He had children. Glory be to God in the highest. That was still favor. How can a stranger come to town and the king will give him his daughter? And he served the king. Favor. See, let me tell you something about covenant children of God. Favor follows you. Let me turn to some other people. Let me tell them that. See, there are certain things that you just have to know. And that's the truth. I'm not doing you any extra by saying have favor. Look, you are favored. In the name of Jesus. The best I can achieve is to get you to know who you are and what you have. Because in Christ Jesus, believe in me, you are favored. What if you don't know it? Then the devil takes advantage of you the rest of your life until you know. You are favored. Anyway, so this day the Bible said he was rearing, he was with the sheep and the goats and the herds, and he was moving them through the wilderness. Then he saw the burning bush. Hallelujah. How many of you know that he wasn't making an effort to look or to see? He saw. Because he was on his path. But when he got there, the account tells us that he took time. He turned aside to see. Come on, is somebody hearing me? And by the time you read the same account in the book of Hebrews or in the other epistles, the Bible said he turned, in fact, the Greek word says he turned away from everything to give it attention. Hallelujah. May what is vanity not take your attention that way. In the name of Jesus. May what matters the most in life begin to seize your attention like that in the name of Jesus. The eyes are very strong. And from that point, he walked into his destiny. In the garden, from that point, humanity went down. The eyes. So turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me in the way. Open my eyes so I can see wondrous things out of your law. Remember the story of Balaam and Balak? Praise the Lord. Balaam, that prophet was something else. It was so on the spot, so precise. The Bible, according to the Bible, they said he, with his eyes open, he prophesied even the birth of Jesus. With his eyes open, not from sleep. He was such a strong character until he allowed himself to be corrupted. Why? A king promised him money and promised him things, material things. And that's one problem too, because look at it. There had always been money around when God chose him and God began to bless him. But one time around, his attention was called to money, and that became a major distraction. And I was thinking some weeks back, I say, isn't it amazing that Paul says that when a minister of God begins to run after money more than the mandate on his life, he says it is filthy lucre. Why will you leave the real thing and run after filth for the rest of your life? God forbid. Can you see? So in other words, what we value here could be filth. So really, the question is, what am I really looking for? Because it is what I'm looking for that I will see. So you see why the prayer is very important? Pastor wants to preach sin today. Why must sin become a deterrent? Or whatever, why must sin become a hindrance rather? We have power over sin already. Yes, in the name of Jesus. That's why we say sin. Sin cannot have dominion over you. You are completing him with the head of all principalities and powers. If sin still has such a hold on me like it used to have, I have a problem. So I'm not talking sin much. But I'm talking something very important, something more important than the issue of sin or no sin. You see, in the book of Mark in chapter 4, Jesus Christ was trying to give us an idea of what the kingdom is like. And he started by saying that a sower went out to sow seeds. Come on. Hello, are you here with me? Yes. And by the time you get to verse 12 of that same chapter, he had finished the parable, and then his disciples now approached him for the meaning. Hear what he said to them in Mark chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 10. But when he was alone, that was telling the parable, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about the parable. Then hear what he said. He said to them, To you it has been given to know the mystery. Hello? Mystery is a secret. But to the children of the kingdom, to covenant children, is a revealed secret. So it remains a secret to the general populace, but is a revealed secret to us. So it's not hidden from us. So we have an advantage over the generality of the people. Why? Because we belonged to the family. So that's mystery in the New Testament parlance. So mystery is not just something that it is enshrouded in some darkness and nobody can see it. Yes, they can't see, but we can see. Glory be to God in the highest. Is somebody following me closely? Because the truth is this, there are certain things that are your rights in Christ Jesus. And I really want to destroy some lies of the devil. If you observe the way we have been preaching and teaching recently, it's because I think some things should be made clear. Pastor Kunle asked me a question. He said, there's a particular book, I ordered and I was reading, and he saw and ordered it too. Then he asked a question, and I said, okay. And the question is this. He said, are you comfortable with the fact that you are a spirit being? Because many are not. Many things that we are just soul and body. Like dogs. We are not. The chicken, the dogs, the fish is soul and body. Human beings as spirit beings, they have a soul. Every human being has a soul. And we are enclosed in this earth suit, the body. You see, our soul defines our personality. This is the seat of your memory, your intellect, hello, your feelings. And it is your environment that informs what constitutes your memory, where you grew up from. Your definition of love and hate is from your environment. Yeah? So your definition of what is funny and what is not funny is from your environment. That's why a comedian in Nigeria, by the time he gets here, you can't sit, you are cracking. And a comedian from America will come, you'll be wondering, what is he talking about? Or from Britain, you say, what is he talking about? And when he gets on stage in Britain, everybody is falling on the floor. So it's the environment that defines that. And whether you are educated or not, this one is a villager, a bushman. You are defining him by the environment that made him, that made his personality. But that does not negate the fact that this man is alive. He can eat, he can breathe, he can sleep, he can feel pain. He's a spirit being. And he's still in the body. And what is death? When the spirit separates from the body. So where is the soul? The soul is still part of the spirit carries along, because God will ask you for what you've done all your life. And you will see everything you've done before, and he will show you how much you have been saved and how much you have affected the world, how much everybody that saw you became liberated. And you will remember. He says, is this so? Uh-uh. The rich man recognized Lazarus in paradise. One day dead, their bodies were here. So you are comfortable with the fact that you are a spirit being, don't you? You are too quiet for me now.
Yes, sir.
So you are a spirit.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes,
sir. So what's a spirit in Yoruba? And John O'Neill. Now you see the way you are reacting. Uh-huh. Yeah. What spirit in Igbo? Uh-huh. So I looked at you, I said, more. You say, hey, but you are a ghost. You are just a ghost that has a body. Uh-huh. So let's remove all those yama about fear. Fear what? You're afraid of ghosts that have no body. When you're a ghost yourself that has a body, you are at a better advantage. And that's the truth. And that's why you, in your body, you can conjure and you can stop. Ah. More so when you're a Christian. When your spirit being is embedded in the super spirit. The spirit that created every spirit. Give me attention. This thing is very important to me, what I'm sharing with you. Believe me, you are victorious. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Uh-huh. So you are comfortable with the fact that you are a spirit being, don't you? Good. So let's leave it. If you are a spirit being, just like in the physical body, does he see? Does he hear? Does he fear? What about the spiritual body? Does he feel? Does he see? Does he hear?
Yes, sir.
But what if you don't mind the spiritual body? Don't you think it will be there? And I'm not talking of spiritual gifts yet. Okay. It is what you look at that you see. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Still talking about seeing and not seeing. So he said to them in Mark chapter 4, let me just quickly say it. He said, and they said to him in verse 11, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Verse 12, so that seeing they may see and not what? Come on, talk to me. We live our lives in perspectives. It is what you perceive something to be that will determine how you react to it. Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So what will cause them to turn? If they can see and perceive, then they will believe and their sins, and they will turn and their sins will be forgiven. So what you see will affect what you become. And he was talking concerning the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. Remember Jesus again in Matthew chapter 16? By the way, like I said to you, it's my meditation I'm sharing with you. Glory be to God in the highest. I sense a very strong breakthrough for somebody. In the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, he asked them the question, say, who do men say that I am? And they all started guessing, or they were saying some things. And I said, but who do you think, or who do you rather say that I am? And then the Bible said that Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did Jesus respond to that? He said, then Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you. Come on, church, are you here? Blessed are you, Simon by Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh, come on, and blood has not what? Come on, has not what? Has not revealed it, has not shown it to you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not shown, you don't see. There's always a force behind what you see. But my Father who is in heaven. So he was looking and said, Peter, don't think you just saw it. My Father showed you. And Jesus said, this is revelation. It's based on this that I will build my church. Your ability to see what my Father is showing. Hello. Glory be to God in the highest. I said, glory be to God in the highest. So, the understanding now is getting clearer. And let me quickly take it from here too, because we started from the Old Testament, didn't we? Psalms. Hello. Exactly. So there's nothing wrong with the Old Testament, because simply put, really, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. So it's a mystery there. But the New Testament is still the same message from the Old Testament, but now revealed. We are able to see clearly. So in other words, anytime I'm reading, I'm studying the Old Testament, it is with the perspectives of a New Testament era. I am in Christ. So whatever I read is understood in New Testament's perspectives. So they killed an animal to cover, on the Day of Atonement, everybody killed an animal because of their sin. So every January or every February or every March, as the case may be, they killed an animal. Okay, so how does that apply to me? I just read it in the Old Testament. How does it apply? Oh, yes, an animal was needed and is still needed for sin. But for me, no more sin in that wise, because Jesus Christ has been killed, he died, he resurrected. And the Bible says there is therefore now no more sacrifice. The only and everlasting sacrifice has been offered. But it's still the Old Testament, but in the New Testament perspective. So that they may see and perceive. So with that in mind, I want to show you where we are. So Pastor, is it right to pray that prayer? Yes. But this is the understanding. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. Make otoromosh kantabra la bakasanda rabara. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 3. Let me read from verse 1. I'll read as quickly as I can. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need as some other? epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Please follow me closely. For, and we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient ourselves. Okay, let me go back again. Verse 3, say, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit. Written by the Spirit. And not on tablets of stones. What is he saying? As far as the Old Testament is concerned, the laws were engraved on stones and they were given to Moses. Come on, are you here? But in the New Testament, there is no tablet containing 10 commandments. He said, the day is coming when I will write my laws in your heart. And it was referring to our time. Come on. You find that in Ezekiel or Jeremiah. Am I right? But the time has come. So the law is embedded, it's written in our hearts. Glory be to God in the highest. So it's not the stone of the Ten Commandments anymore, but the fact that the laws of God are in our hearts. And how do they get into our hearts? By His Spirit in regeneration, and by continuously renewing our minds by the Word of God. Please follow me closely. Verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves or to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We are not boasting. God is behind us. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter. Please follow me closely. Ministers of what? The new. Come on, can I hear you? If there is no difference between the new and the old, the Bible will not say we are ministers of the new covenant. You say we are ministers of the covenant. See, the problem is that there are in this era of New Testament period, as it were, or New Testament, people are still trying to put us into the old covenant. It doesn't work. It can't work. There is a fulfilling of the old covenant in Christ, and that's where we are. Let me go on. We also are sufficient ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Come on, is somebody hearing me? You know the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees when Jesus came, during the time of Jesus? They were ministers of the letter. They were quoting the letter. They studied the letter in their schools and they quote the letter and letter and letter and letter and letter, but it benefited nobody. They created so much problem for Jesus. They created so much problem for Paul. That some even bring that the thorn in the flesh was the Jew that they persecuted him everywhere. That what are you teaching? And basically what they were doing was legalism that had no life at all. No life. Praise the Lord. It says, New Covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. Are you here with me? Why? Can we read it together? For the letter was? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. So if I come today and I'm trying to force you to obey the laws of the Old Testament verbatim, you can't. I will discourage you. You can only keep the laws to the extent that you are in Christ Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For the letter kills, but the Spirit does what? So you can begin to see the contrast now. When it's Old Testament, it's letters. When it's New Testament, it's life. It's Spirit. Look at the next verse. But if the ministry of what? I can hear you. Which one is the ministry of death? The law. If the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of what? the Spirit. Now you can see comparison again, the ministry of death, come on, and the ministry of the Spirit. Now if I ask you the question, how many of you this year has not lied? If you have lied, there's a sacrifice. How many of you have not committed fornication or adultery? Some raise their hands. But have you seen a man that just looked at you too much and you too, your first time, you look at him? That's what Jesus said, if you look that way, you committed it. Yeah. When she passed and she said, yeah, oh. You've committed adultery. That's the Old Testament. So, Pastor, are we permitted here? No, we are not permitted. We are not one that easily give in to that anymore. Why? We don't even see like that anymore. Occasionally, you may get yourself on a slippery ground and you struggle. Temptation. Temptation still happens to everybody. It happens to Jesus. Come on, is somebody hearing me? So, temptation is common to everybody. Everybody will be tempted. I'm not talking of temptation. But we don't take delight in sinning. It's not our nature anymore. It's strange to us. So when you hear a Christian sinning, he is caught up with sin. You hear a word like caught up with sin or falling into sin. But when you hear a non-believer relative to sin, he's having fun. It's his nature. So why are you surprised that the unbeliever man is committing adultery? It's like stopping a dog from barking. Hello? Or stopping an unbeliever officer from committing fraud. It's like stopping a fish from swimming. That's natural to them. But the day you give your life to Jesus, when you find yourself falling into that, you are most uncomfortable. See what I mean? So he said that one is a ministry of death. This is ministry of life. Or letter. This is life. Ministry of letter. Ministry of life. Ministry of death. Ministry of spirit. And the New Testament life. We give God all the glory for that. Yeah. And he says the reason is, how will the ministry of the Spirit not much more glorious? So in other words, again, let me just quickly say this. I'm not saying that everything about the Old Testament is horrible. God allowed it and used it to teach us. It's our tutor. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament taught us. How? Look at Moses. Look at David. Look at Daniel. Look at Joseph. Come on. How many of you would like to be like Daniel? Come on. Yeah. But you see, the truth is that I should be more than Daniel. I've read the book of Daniel over and over. I just admire that man. The way he... Man, God give me wisdom. But he has given me, that's the thing. In fact, how has he given me? Jesus has made himself my wisdom. But if I don't know, I'll be begging God to give me wisdom like Daniel. And I will beg and beg and fast and beg and fast and beg. But you see, I can have wisdom like Daniel and much more. Why? I am born again. He's my wisdom now. I'm completing him. But where I don't know, I'll be struggling to become like Daniel, like Daniel, like Daniel. I'll be struggling to become like Elijah, like Elijah, like Elijah. I'll be struggling to become like Elisha, like Elisha, like Elisha. Hey, I should be becoming, in fact, not that I should be. My Bible tells me, I'm going to show you in a minute, I am daily becoming like Jesus Christ. My standard is not Elisha or Moses anymore. My standard is Jesus. Come on, you are too quiet for me now. Jesus Christ was talking to them. He said, look. He said, look, in the kingdom of God, how does he put it now? He said, there are great men in the kingdom. He said, but you see, in this kingdom, John the Baptist, everybody said, wow. He said, he's the least of them. As great as he was, he is. So who are the great people in the kingdom? If John is the least of them, those who are born again are greater. But the problem is that many of them are yet to know who they are. So what are you looking at? What are you seeing? Even when it comes to the mystery of Jesus Christ, you know what he said? He said, why are you surprised? Why are you marveling at the fact that all these miracles are happening? He said, don't you know that is what I see my Father do? that I do. I've taken upon myself to look out for what he's doing. What are you looking at? It's what I look at that I see, and what I see is what I do. Even the word I speak is not mine. It's what I hear him say that I say. That gets his all, ladies and gentlemen. Hello? I'm almost finishing. Do you know that most of the heresies that we have seen in the world, that's where they came from? I'm not joking. You see a man of God doing very well, very well. After a while, he will say he's the modern day Elijah. Mistake, Buruku. Then he goes, shwap. That's the end. I still read a lot of their histories and I marvel at how God had used them. And how, why would such men fail? And I say, God, please, by the grace of God, in Christ Jesus, I am complete. Eh? I will finish where? In Jesus' name. Because you can't boast anymore as of of God. Alexander Doorway. Woo. Who? 1901. How did he finish? He became the spirit of Elijah. William Branham, the spirit of Elijah. For most of our pastors and people who walk close to me, they'll come say, Pastor, look at this. And say, don't recommend for people to cancel. I say, you cannot recommend. I don't recommend this book. I'm sorry. They say, ah, Pastor. I said, no, don't. Because it doesn't follow the principles. Which means New Testament. There are generational causes. Definitely there are. But they will continue to have a hold on you if you don't know who you are the day you know. And then you expect me as a pastor to come every day and preach generational course, come, let me deliver you. No, that's not New Testament. This can be like, let them know who they are so they can be liberated. Let them be the ones to go. They are the ones to go and demons will be cast out by them. You want to cast out demons from them every Sunday? Hey, it's not New Testament. I'm sorry, go back to Old Testament. I'm not joking. There's nothing wrong, you see. Pastor Taiwo, ha! Powerful man of God. Everybody's running to Pastor Taiwo. Amen. But if everybody's running and they are not running out with the power to the ends of the world, it's a failure. Did you hear me? It's not celebrating one big man. Every big man that celebrated is sending out men because it's a tool in the hand of God. Give me an example, Pastor. Redeemed Christian Church. They've taken over the whole world. Everybody wants to gather around that man. They've taken over the whole world. From that man, people are scattered all over, doing great works everywhere. Huge assemblies everywhere. We have many examples. Trem, winners. We have many examples. Fountain of Life, thank you. That's how you know whether it's of God or not. I'm almost finishing my message. For if the ministry, verse 9, of condemnation, can you hear? It was referring to the ministry of the Old Testament under Moses. See what the word is using relative to who we are and where we are. If the ministry of condemnation had glory, and it did, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was more glorious had no glory in this respect. Because of the glory that excels, this glory excels. Well, the first of Moses, it was fading. But in the New Testament, it is from glory to glory. For if what was passing was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, what hope? That what we have is permanent and is forever. What you have is the best that God has offered and will forever offer. What we best is that those of us who were dead in sins, we were total enemies. He quickened us by his spirit. He lifted us up and raised us up to sit with him in heavenly places. Now, even to the extent that the principalities and powers, we begin to wonder, look at the wisdom of God. From who? You and I. We are seated with him in heavenly places. We have the power. I don't want to be like Elijah. I want to be like Jesus. It says, therefore, since we have such a hope, which I just described, we use great boldness of speech. We don't fake it. Once that hope is there, the word comes with power. If that hope is there, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing, but their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil is on their heart. You see what happens? Once, if we begin to put you and lock you into the Old Testament, not in the perspective of the fact that Jesus has died and resurrected and we are complete in him, is bondage. That's the Bible. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. For every born again child of God, there is no veil. The curtain has been rent into two. The spirit is flowed out. You have access with boldness. That's why Paul said, come with boldness. Come therefore with boldness to the throne of grace. You are not coming to beg like a beggar. Now the Lord is the Spirit. See, the mystery of death and the ministry of the Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit, verse 17. And where the Spirit, come on church, and where the Spirit, come on church, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? In the Old Testament, they were slaves. They were servants. We are sons. We are joint heirs. But we all, tap your neighbor, say, including you, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What is happening to us? We are what? Transformed. Into what? The same. So who are we becoming like? How? By transformation. How? The more I look into the Bible, I see him. And the more I see him, I become like him. John 6:63 said, it is the Spirit that what? Gives life. The flesh what? Profit? Nothing. The word that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit. And they are life. Is somebody hearing me? So you cannot be getting to the word on a daily basis and the devil will begin to play games with your mind. It's a lie. Hallelujah. And if you observe, when he's talking of the mystery of the New Testament, spirit, 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 spirit. And that's why you cannot joke with the ministry of the Holy Ghost. But this next line is very important. I'll cheat you if I don't say it. Hear it. You know what he said about the Spirit? He said, when he's come, chapter 14, he said, he will teach you. And then he will bring everything that I've taught you to your remembrance. So the problem with the natural man is that we forget. But when you are dealing with the Spirit, he will remind you. So you are not afraid of missing it anymore. He will remind you. At the point where it looks like you are about to fall, he will remind you. And he will not just remind you, he will strengthen you. He will help you. Is somebody hearing me? Glory be to God in the highest. Now you can understand what he meant when he said that, look, without me you can do nothing. And now said to them, said, look, please, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. Let the Holy Ghost come first. Don't go without the Holy Spirit. He was correcting an abuse of tongue. Use of tongue in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I feel the fire now. It's not peculiar to anybody. He said, but what does tongue has to do with it? He was correcting them in 1 Corinthians 14. Look at this quickly. I just want you to see something. Because it's in the Spirit. It's about the Spirit. It's about the Spirit. We are spirit beings. And it's the Holy Ghost we are dealing with. They that worship him must be in the Spirit and in truth. Come on. How do you think you can worship God well when you don't even know you are in spirit? He speaking spirit, I'm spirit. Hallelujah. So I can connect. If I can speak his language. What's his language? The Bible. The one I speak to you, the spirit. I am alive. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll show you quickly. Verse 2. He was correcting an abuse, remember? For he who speaks in a tongue, hello, does not speak to men, but to God, right? That's the Bible. So in the corner of my room, when I'm giving my shakura brabaka to rabaka shandakalapakura brabaka, I'm not preaching to anybody. So I'm not expecting anybody to understand anything, but the one to whom I'm talking understands. He's not speaking unto men, but unto God. For no one understands him. However, everybody say however. 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 Read the next line. So the person speaking in tongue is however in the spirit. Malabo shankatara baba baba. So everything is finished in the spirit. Hey. And when I begin to speak in tongues, I'm in the realm. However, in the spirit, he speaks what? So if your problem is a mystery, then there are mystery solutions. If it is mysterious, there are mysterious solutions here. Now it's clear. That man got there through science, Einstein. He said, I wonder why men will create problems on one plane and they'll be struggling on the same plane to solve the problem. Not you know, you should step up to a higher plane. Einstein said that. How much more you and I? I see solutions. I say in the name of Jesus, I see solutions. I see healings. I see breakthroughs. In the name of Jesus. Look at verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He builds himself up. Hear what Jakefo said there. The use of tongues is a means of private self-edification. This practice does not denote selfishness, but rather spiritual strengthening. So why would you pray in tongues? Marabaka sondoroboko shandala bababa. The devil knows. The demons knows. God understands. Verse 14, I'm jumping. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. What's it talk? And Romans 8:26 says that when I pray, say, I don't know how to pray like I ought to. I know there are issues, but I'm praying when I cannot fully even define the issue in the physical. How can I know how to pray? My understanding is unfruitful. I understand. But my spirit man is taking charge. Then the Holy Ghost takes hold with me with groanings that cannot be uttered. And what that verse says in Romans 8:26 is that, you see, he comes to help you. He doesn't come to do what you don't want to do. He says it's like it's coming by. You want to carry this table. It's too big. And you're like, Kura Mashunda, da, 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 he comes to Kura, da, da. He's the creator spirit. There's no human problem that does not have a solution. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! Why are you going that way? Because in Christ Jesus, the veil is removed. Your eyes are turned away. The Bible says that the more we look at him, the more we become like him. Whether in the world or anyhow, we become like him. And so we are not struggling with the world anymore. You get in the word of God and you discover your eyes will be single. You are going somewhere to happen because you have already happened in the spirit, and there's nothing this side of heaven that can stop you in the name of Jesus. If you believe, you shout hallelujah. If you believe that you are living here today with a solution, shout amen. I'm going to ask you to stand up for the next 5 minutes. Pray in tongues, everybody. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. I want to hear you. I want to feel your boldness. Whatever has been scaring you, you are scared of the future. I say, pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. By his stripes I am healed. Yes. greater be the peace of my children. Amen. I will not cast my young. Amen. In the name of Jesus. The days of my life I will fulfill. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odikoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukoju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.